So this morning, I'm just going to encourage all of us to be good. It's good to be good. Thanks for coming. That's really what the New Testament writers are reminding us of constantly, being good. But there's some background behind all of that. It's good to be good. It builds our character, and it helps us to be who God created us to be. So there are a number of writers that talk about this. This is not on PowerPoint, but I was thinking earlier this morning, when Peter was writing to a group of brand new Christians, he says this, and I love his language. He says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And I thought of that passage yesterday because we had our grandchildren over at the house, and little Alistair, 7 months old, he was just feeling a little bit uneasy, and then someone dawned on, maybe he's thirsty. So we gave him his milk, and his disposition changed completely. And he didn't want to drink all of his milk, but after we took the bottle out of it, he just looked at us, and this big smile just came on his face. Happiness, because he was drinking this milk that made him happy. Pure spiritual milk, Christ himself, can make us happy and can help us to be good. So it's our encouragement this morning to be good. We'll spend some time talking about that. But let's just take a moment to welcome one another. Maybe you've had a difficult week. Let us come to you and give you a hug. Let's welcome each other this morning. So here's a familiar passage. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Some people would call this the motto of all scripture. For it is by God's grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that we could boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to be good, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And he wanted, so even before we were created, God had us in mind. And he wanted to work through us and wants to work through us. And by working through us, for us to do good, it brings glory to him and it brings glory to the world around us. And in Galatians chapter 5, one first New Testament book that Paul ever wrote, is this emphasis to be good. So I just want to spend a couple of minutes today looking at these various scriptures that encourage us to be good, to do good, and sometimes to feel good about doing good and being good. And that example came a number of years ago when I was at a conference in Niagara Falls. And the man who was speaking to us was an ex-NHL hockey player. And he said, I have no problem playing hockey in front of 20,000 people, but to speak in front of even five people really makes me nervous. And so he did a really good job in his talk. But as he was beginning, and of course, there were thousands of people there, he said to us, he said, so how many people in this audience are age 35 and up? And then there was this comment back, amen. And then he said, and how many people here are under the age of 35? And there was this roar, yeah! So I don't know if there's a transition from 34 to 35, but somehow there goes an amen and then there's a yes, both meaning the same thing. Well, Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, about being good and understanding what good we have in Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, this is really a beautiful passage of scripture, starting in verse 18. And just give you a little background behind this. Paul is sometimes being accused of saying one thing and doing another. There were some false leaders at this church in Corinth that were giving Paul a hard time constantly. And reading the book of 2 Corinthians, you find that quite often. But Paul does something, and I can't help but think that when he wrote this, he had a smile on his face. But this is how we felt, and I think it's good stuff. He says this in verse 18. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen, for those 35 and older, amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us and set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The yes of God. And I think sometimes as Christians, we can see life so serious, and it is, and we can sometimes see ourselves in such a serious way, and sometimes we have to do that. But I think every once in a while, it's just good to say, God is good, and God created us to be good. And God says yes to me, and we say yes back to God. And we have this gift, which is life, to live in this world, to be good and to do good and to help people notice that God is good and he wants to bless them as well. Because he said, even before we were born, he created us to be good, to do good, to love good, to help the world be good. And the world has always needed help in being good. And we can be leaders in all of this. So Paul often uses this theme throughout Scripture. And one of the ways that there was a difficult conflict in the New Testament church was this dialogue back and forth between people who followed the old law and then now came to grace in Christ Jesus. And there was a bit of a battle going back and forth where some of the newer Christians who came from following the old law, which really said, don't, came to Christ where the emphasis is do. And it's yes, and do, and it's yes. And so people wrestled with that. Have you ever wrestled with that? From a life of no, don't, to a life of, wow, God wants me to do. He wants me to say yes to his Spirit. He wants me to say yes to his word. He wants me to say yes to his world in living a life in such a way that people will say, who is this Jesus that you're talking about? What is this grace as a gift that's been given to us? We haven't earned it. It's God who gives it to us because he's good and he wants to demonstrate his goodness living through us so that we'll be good. So someone else will be good and someone else will be good and we can see the world through new eyes. But it wasn't always easy. So in Romans chapter 7, in verse 6, it's Paul reminding people who are wrestling, dancing between those two lifestyles. And here's what he says in verse 6 of chapter 7. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not the old way of the written code. We have been released from those bonds that kept us in chain. And I don't know why I thought of this, but I got a picture of this. How many of us remember the story of Jesus spending time with Mary and Martha, and the news came that Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother, had died. In fact, he had been dead for several days. And they say to Jesus, this is what happened. And it's almost as if, Jesus, you can't do anything about that because he's dead. I mean, when someone's dead, there's nothing you can do about that. And so Jesus goes to the grave. And it's a long story. If you want to read it, it's John chapter 11. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. And he says to Lazarus, come out. Now, he's been dead for 4 days. And he comes out of the tomb. And Jesus says something beautiful. Take off his grave clothes and let him go. How many of you have seen old movies where if someone was in a tomb, they're wrapped up like a mummy? And that's what they used to do in banks. So he was all bound up. He had strips of cloth all around him, maybe even on his head. I don't know. And I see him almost coming out of the tomb like this. And Jesus said, take it off. Let him go. He's no longer bound. Now, listen, none of us have ever had that experience. But we have been bound in our life. Sometimes we have been so wrapped up in our own negativity and our own sad, bad thoughts that they put us into the grave. When God all along is giving us the greatest gift of all that can change the entire world and change the future for every long being, that we have Christ Jesus who sets us free where death no longer binds us, and that we can be released from all of that and live a life that is good, not only toward God, but for all humankind. How would you like that gift? It's given to us. All we have to do is receive it, receive him, and continually remind ourselves it's good to be good because God is good and he created us to be good, and release those things that bind us. But there will come times in our life when negative thoughts just come. And Paul talks about this throughout. So I started today in 2 Corinthians talking about how some people were accusing Paul of being this and being that. And Paul comes along and he says, listen, we have to change the way we think about things. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says some really cool things about changing the way we think. Start reading in verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10 in verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, now listen to this, they have divine power from God, divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And then he says this, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ Jesus. It's always at the end of our day a good thing to just look back on the day, not beat ourselves up, but look back at the day and say, was it a good day? Did I bring some good to the world today? Have I been feeling good in my emotions and in my mind? Have I thought throughout this day that God created me to do good things in advance? And am I only happy at the end of the day if only good things happen to me? Or at the end of the day, do I ask myself, so what good have I done today? How can I bring glory to God and to the world today? You see, Peter also said this, live such good lives among the unbelievers that even though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Meaning, they may not be glorifying it, but if they do good works and if they see you doing good works, they'll be blessed. And when someone's blessed, God gets the glory. They may not even recognize that God gets the glory, but God gets the glory. And that's what God created us to be and how to live. And so there's this battle that we sometimes have to deal with. And so I close with this in Ephesians chapter 6, and it's to recognize that there is someone besides God who wants our heart, he wants our mind, he wants our emotions. In fact, he wants our intellect. He wants to turn them a bit. He wants to grab our emotions and make them negative, make them selfish. He sometimes wants our body to weaken it, because sometimes when we're feeling ill, it affects the way we think. He wants to dig away at our spirit. He wants to wrap us up as a spiritual mummy so that we feel bound and we can't be released from that. He wants us to think that that religion is a trap. He wants us to just mess us up constantly, when all along there's this great gift that's available for all of us. For it's by God's grace that we have been saved through our faith. This is not of ourselves. It's a gift from God. And there's the gift waiting for us. But there's someone who wants to snatch that from us. So it's found in Ephesians chapter 6. And I'll close with these words, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so then he'll go on and remind us of these things, to put on the armor of God and to clothe ourselves with these beautiful virtues that everyone in this world loves. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And maybe we can think of more. But it's God pouring himself out into us so that we can do good into this world in which we live. Let's pray. So, Father God, as we come to you today, we thank you so much for the wonderful gift of yourself, living in us, encouraging us, motivating us, and yet recognize that there are evil forces in this world that want to distract us from you. Help us, Father, not only so that we might be an example to our children and grandchildren and neighbors, but an example to ourselves, that at the end of the day, we can be reminded of you pouring out your love into our hearts and how badly we need to accept that on a moment-by-moment basis, so that you can be glorified, so that the world can be blessed, and so that we can be the people who you created us in advance to be. And that is good. Amen.